Now let's bring in our Sportsnet hockey insider. You see him on Saturday nights with headlines for Hockey Night in Canada. It is Chris Johnston. Fired up for the season, CJ, yeah?
Of course. I mean, it's going to be a weird one. There's a lot of stuff swirling around, as Canucks fans know, in terms of, you know, things that we're not used to dealing with. But despite the unknowns, I think it's going to be a great year, and I'm pretty pumped to see this Canadian division in action.
Yeah. How would you describe the way that the season is going to play out, if you could, knowing all of the things that have already happened before we've even had a game start?
Well, I really do think it's the great unknown. I mean, we enter every year with that idea. You know, there's always thoughts about which teams are good and which aren't, and which players might have, you know, special seasons and don't. And so, you know, obviously that's part of the promise of a new season. But I think, you know, there's a little bit of trepidation here in speaking with, you know, people, high-ranking people with teams in the last few days. You know, some of the commissioner's comments earlier this week, I think everyone understands. You know, we just have to look at what's happening pretty much every day in the NBA right now. The NHL is entering a, you know, a similar kind of landscape. And so, you know, I think it's reasonable to expect that COVID is going to wreak some havoc with this season. It's already, you know, done so with the start of the Dallas Stars regular season. But unfortunately, I think that it's going to present some challenges we've never seen before. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights are going to play five defensemen on purpose tomorrow in a game, just to start a game, which is something I don't recall having seen as an operating philosophy. So I do think it's going to be this year where we just see some wacky stuff happen, and you know, everyone's going to have to kind of roll with the punches and you know, get through it, and let's just hope we can do it as safely as possible.
CJ, you mentioned some of the on-ice changes that we're going to see, Vegas being a classic example, but when it comes to precautions behind the scenes, do you know if teams are taking it slightly differently? Well, remember the Denver Broncos situation. All of their quarterbacks had to be held out of the game, and they didn't have a player at that position. They had to sub somebody else. And do you think NHL teams maybe try to separate players and travel and accommodations and really take extra precautions in that sense?
Yeah, there's already been a fair amount of change. You know, I know a number of teams have basically reconfigured meeting rooms or entirely fashioned up new meeting rooms and spaces, you know, obviously to accommodate more room between all the players. You know, I've seen some video of that. You know, it's almost comical, you know, seeing guys spread out, but it's for a good reason. I mean, there's a competitive aspect to this. You know, as the Canucks are learning, you know, losing JT Miller in this way, I mean, it's the same as having a tough injury. I mean, you want to do everything you can to prevent those things from happening, because, you know, it is such a condensed regular season, and the games matter so much. So, you know, I know that Boston has made a point of keeping their goaltenders separated, as an example, Rask and Halak being their one and two. You know, they're not sitting in the same part of the dressing room the way they normally would. They're going to sit in different parts of the plane just to try to insulate themselves, because, you know, I think the closest comparable you could see to the quarterback situation in Denver is with goaltending. I mean, every team is only going to carry three, and, you know, the goalies spend a lot of time together typically. Obviously, they do work with a goaltending coach and you know, almost have their own little meetings within teams. And so I think that you have to be careful there in case, you know, any team loses the three goaltenders they're carrying. It's going to be a tough 2 weeks, you know, following that, I would think. You know, there's not very many teams that would have confidence in their number four or number five guys to play games. So I think those are some of the small things. And then, of course, you know, once the teams get into it, there's going to be adjustments made, I think, as they learn what, you know, sort of best practices and what works. And man, I mean, it's a lot to contemplate, and it's a lot being placed on everyone's shoulders, but it's kind of a sign of where we are in the world.
It is weird because there's, you know, so much, I guess, hesitation in the things that are about to happen with all the health protocols that have to go into place and the uncertainty that follows with that. But then we also have this incredible excitement. I mean, CJ, we hear our listeners every day. They're excited. We get chirps about the Leafs and the Flames and the Oilers. It feels like the impact of the Canadian division is the fan bases around Canada, I'm sure, feel it the most. But what is your sense about the teams and the executives, the players in this North division, how – you know, what they feel about this one-off could be a really cool kind of experiment?
Well, now that we're here, I don't know anyone that's involved in this that isn't just thrilled about it. You know, I think you don't even have to be a Canadian player or a veteran or whatever to appreciate how unique this is and how cool it is. And you know, the only thing that could make it better, I think, is full buildings, because I always love going to games. Pick any two Canadian teams, I feel like there's usually a different little bit of buzz in the rink on the nights that those teams play. But, you know, absent that, you know, the interest that this is going to generate, I think it's going to be a crazy amount of attention, frankly, on the North Division. You know, the best sort of example I can give you is, you know, I grew up a big Blue Jays fan here in Ontario. And I, you know, as a kid, especially when I was a huge fan and paid super close attention to the league, I didn't even know what was happening in the National League most of the time. You know, it's almost two separate leagues. And you know, I know the NHL doesn't want that to happen, but you can imagine with just the great interest in hockey in our country, you know, the amount of people employed in the media to talk and write and shed light on this, that the huge fan bases and the fact that the teams are only going to play each other. I mean, you know, Nathan McKinnon's probably going to have a monster season in Colorado, but he's not going to do it in front of, you know, Canadian fans in any meaningful way. And so I think it will be somewhat out of sight. You know, it won't be totally out of mind, but, you know, this just to me has a really special kind of feel to it. And, you know, I think the teams are all sort of competitively quite close. You know, obviously Ottawa's in the early parts of a rebuild, so they're in sort of a separate category, but you take the next six. I mean, there's expectations and emotions attached to the way that those six teams perform this year and whether they reach the playoffs or not. And so, you know, you mix that all together, I think it's going to be the most compelling division in hockey. And I don't say that just as a Canadian or someone who works for Sportsnet. I think it's just going to be this once in a lifetime experiment we never see tried again afterwards.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Chris Johnston, Sportsnet NHL insider. Chris, generally heading into a season, we're excited about player movement as well. This year is going to be pretty unique, specifically looking in the North Division. Are the rosters we see pretty much going to be set in stone and the ones that we're going to get throughout the year?
I would say pretty much, yes. I mean, there's going to be some player movement, but it's just so hard for the Canadian teams. I mean, bringing anyone in from the U.S. is a 14-day quarantine. You know, we're talking about a 116-day season to begin with. So, you know, it's a percentage of the season that isn't insignificant. And, you know, the only other way to get around that, of course, is deals between Canadian teams, because players wouldn't necessarily have to serve that kind of quarantine. But, you know, I would suggest to you that these teams aren't very motivated to help each other out in the way that the schedule is lined up. And so, you know, I do think that for all intents and purposes, you have to approach this as though it's going to be very difficult to make it certainly a sizable move or one that has immediate impact on your team. You know, I think we could still see trades that are not made just with the present in mind, of course, you know, longer term thinking type of moves. But, you know, I don't see all these teams as we get close to the trade deadline on April 12th, you know, making trades for players on expiring contracts coming from US-based teams, just because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And so, I think there'll be some player movement, but it'll largely be limited to big picture type of moves that aren't designed to help, you know, immediately in this current season. And you know, it's a little different in the States. I mean, it's crazy. As an example, Florida claimed a defenseman named Gustav Forsling from Carolina off waivers this week. Forsling drove 10 or 11 hours and was able to practice the next day with Florida, because the way the rules work in the U.S. is if a player drives between point A or point B or flies private, then it's up to the local, you know, medical authorities to say how long his quarantine was. And in that case, the player didn't have one. I mean, you know, it's going to be difficult for the Canucks to even bring a player up from Utica, let alone actually make a trade, you know, with the Anaheim Ducks to pick a team. So I do think that the player movement with the Canadian teams will be difficult, but not impossible. And we'll probably see something, because I expect we're going to see some injuries too.
I know Friedge mentioned on 31 Thoughts that Pierre-Luc Dubois trade talks are there. They're heated up potentially. What are you hearing on Dubois?
Well, there's certainly interest in him, and you know, it's kind of a situation that I would say currently developing. You know, it's hard to read exactly where it's going, because you know, I would say typically, obviously, we don't see 22-year-old potential franchise centermen traded too often. You know, clearly this is a highly coveted player. And so that's where the interest comes from. But, you know, I don't know if you guys have the clip, but there, you know, earlier today, John Tortorella was on a Columbus radio station and was pretty frank about the situation, saying that he doesn't feel Pierre-Luc Dubois has done a good enough job verbalizing to his teammates why he wants out. And you know, even went so far as to say he thinks it's going to be hard to coach him this year in some ways, because he's poured a lot of attention into helping him grow as a player. And, you know, I think he's maybe hurt a little bit by the fact that he wants to leave. And so, you know, I would say typically, especially because Columbus has been a front office that has handled these situations, I think, with more patience than some would. You know, I think back to the Panarin and Bobrovsky situations a couple of years ago where they let both of those players walk to free agency, you know, when they weren't able to, when it was pretty clear that they had little to no interest in negotiating extensions. And I think a lot of teams probably would have traded those guys in those positions, just think, you know, reasoning that you can't give players that talented away. And so, you know, there's not a lot of pressure to deal Dubois in that he's under team control for this year, plus three more beyond it. I mean, the player only has so much leverage unless he's willing to sit out to force a trade. But, you know, if it becomes a big distraction behind the scenes, maybe they're going to have to advance on some of this interest that's been out there. And, you know, my goodness, that would be a hard trade to pull off, I think. But, you know, it might get to the situation where they have to.
Absolutely. It's you're never going to, or it's very difficult to win a trade when you're trading a player of that quality. So we'll see what happens in Columbus. It is prediction season. We're going to have ours a little bit later on in the show. But CJ, Sportsnet.ca, all the insiders within Sportsnet came with their predictions. You had Calgary finishing first in the North Division. I know predictions are tough normally, but in a 56-game schedule, what makes you believe that Calgary can win this division?
Well, the goaltender they signed away from the Canucks is a big help, I think. You know, Calgary's probably been the best regular season team in Canada across the last two seasons for my money, and they've done it with a rotating cast of goalies and not necessarily a whole lot of stability at that position. And, you know, who knows with goaltending? I mean, that's part of the role of the dice in general. Even the best goalies in the world don't post the same numbers year after year after year, you know, the way, you know, often you see the best scorers, you know, can pretty consistently produce at certain levels in their peaks. But, you know, I think that Jacob Markstrom changes a lot of what Calgary does. I think that their team, a lot of people have kind of slept on, maybe because their stars are not shining as bright as the Pettersson and Hugheses and McDavids and Dreisaitls and Matthews and Marner and whoever else in this division that was going to soak up a lot of the attention. But, you know, I think Calgary's got a deep team. And, you know, they've kind of been kicking around at it. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if you told me any one of four or five teams won the division. I sort of went Winnipeg in a secondary tier below the other teams. And then obviously I mentioned Ottawa earlier. But, you know, it's a jump ball this year. And you add in some of the uncertainty with injuries and COVID and, you know, which teams are able to stay healthy, I think it has an impact in a normal year. It's going to have an even greater impact in this kind of season. So, you know, it's hard to predict these things, but I do think Calgary's kind of been overlooked a little. And with some stabilizing goaltending and then, you know, the guys they have there doing what they've done now over a number of seasons, I could see them being a little bit more to handle in this North Division than most seem to be giving them credit for.
We'll spare you the potential vitriol of Canucks Twitter and just ask you, you think Elias Pettersson can get into the conversation amongst the best centers in the league? If he's not already for you, like, can he get into a tier with Matthews, McDavid? Will he be a Hart Trophy candidate as early as this season?
Oh, I think that's certainly within his grasp. I mean, the only reason you might not put him in those tiers yet is because you just haven't seen it over, you know, as many seasons as you've seen Matthews and McDavid do it. You know, but the first 2 years that Pettersson had in this league, I mean, got everyone's attention. And, you know, I certainly consider him in the best grouping of centers already. I mean, it's difficult to, I guess, articulate this. I think it's interesting that these guys are going to get to go head-to-head so much with the way this breaks out. And, you know, not that any one or two or even nine head-to-head meetings are going to solve too much, but I think it's going to be under the spotlight a little bit more. You know, obviously there'll be some defensive assignments placed on all those players because there are so many top number one centers in the division. And I think we're going to see them, you know, play straight up in a lot of these games. And so, you know, it's going to end up being, I think, one of these ones where we're able to measure them against each other so much. I mean, when we talk about the Hart Trophy, not to get too far down the road, I don't know how we're going to vote on it this year. I mean, with every division only playing intra-division games, it's going to be a hard year to compare, you know, what a great season out of this North Division, you know, the best player in this North Division, how does that compare to the best player in the East Division? You know, quality of competition and all these other factors are going to come into it. You know, I think it's going to be hard to vote on any of the awards this season, but certainly I think this is a big year for Pettersson and for McDavid and for Matthews. You know, I think all these guys are still, you know, trying to vie for, I mean, McDavid's obviously considered the best player in the league, but everyone else is, you know, competitive highly tuned athlete, and I think that they understand that this is a really great opportunity to go head to head with everyone in that conversation and kind of decide it on the ice rather than on the talk radio.
CJ, appreciate the time as always. Can't wait to see you on Headline Saturday night.
Yeah, we got a mini one tonight too, so stay tuned if you are watching the early games today.
Sounds good. Thanks, CJ. See you soon.
All right, guys.